people do not need to be too old before they learn that life is unfair. As their children return to school, they are going to be reminded of this fact again and again. There are some young people who are disciplined for the smallest infractions while others go unpunished. In the workplace, people receive unfair treatment. And it's sad to say there have been some cases or examples of unfairness in the church. Long before we ever arrived, there were some people who saw that things in life were not fair. The Hebrews saw that things were not always equitable. So they drew some conclusions. They thought that unfairness must be related to God. They reasoned that if a person was not being treated well or fairly, they must have sinned. Well, they tried that philosophy for a while, and they realized that in some cases it did not make sense, so they made an adjustment to it. Instead of saying that the person who received unfair treatment was guilty of sin, they said, well, it may not have been you, but somewhere in your family tree, there was someone who was guilty of wrongdoing, therefore you have not been treated in a way that is right. And we see this kind of philosophy coming through in places like John 9, verses 1 through 3. And as they passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The disciples asked the standard question, well, he's not faring very well, so someone must have sinned. Lord, was he the one who was guilty or his parents? Most in the world could see. Blindness was a problem, but most had sight, and this man was blind, and being Hebrews, they reasoned in the way that they'd been taught. Either he or one of his relatives was guilty of wrongdoing. Jesus said that their explanations were incorrect. Sin was not responsible for this man's blindness. Unfairness exists in the world, and Jesus taught that it's not always related to sin. And we recognize that. Well, when we are treated unfairly, how should we respond? What passages in God's Word should be applied when people do not treat us in a way that's right? There are a number of verses that may be applied. I'm going to begin with some information from Matthew 7. This is some of the most well-known information in the Bible, but perhaps it's not often applied in the way that we're going to make use of it this morning. In Matthew 7, Jesus, of course, spoke about judgment. He prohibited the kind of judgment which is hypocritical, the nitpicking and fault-finding kind of judgment. And he told his people to not be involved with these things. And Jesus illustrated his point with the material in verse 4. I want to read this verse and then make some comments on it. Again, Matthew chapter 7, last chapter for the Sermon on the Mount, verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me cast out the mote of thine eye, and lo, the beam is in thine own eye. Now, if you want an illustration for this, and this is an accurate illustration, imagine the poles that run up and down State Road 15. I didn't know how tall they were, so I called NIPSCO this past week, and they said that they were 30 or 35 or 40 feet in height. And these structures that line the different roads throughout Elkhart County and other parts of our nation are the kind of object that Jesus described by the word beam. The original word is a term which describes an object that was used in massive building projects. And when we realize the kind of structure that's described by this term, we have a rather intriguing illustration. Imagine, if you will, a man who is walking down the street, or a man who is in our presence, and from his eye is projecting a 30-foot NIPSCO pole. Or maybe one of the 40-footers. That's the illustration that Jesus offers in Matthew chapter 7. Would we not say that a man in this condition has a problem? Well, clearly he has some difficulties that need to be resolved. And this man, with the 30 or 40-foot pole in his eye, sees that we or someone else has something in our eye. There is a small speck of dirt in your eye or my eye. And this man with the 30 or the 40-foot pole jutting out of his eye says, I can see that you're having some problems. Let me come and help you. Which one of us would say, oh, come right on over, bring your pole, and we'd be glad to take your help? We would say to that fella exactly what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. You take care of the 40-foot pole that is in your eye. And once you correct that problem, then you can come over and help with the speck of dust or dirt that is in my eye. Well, let's apply this information to the times when we are treated unfairly. People may not deal with us in a way that's just. There may not be any question that people are unfair to us. But as we look at Matthew chapter 7, we find that a lack of fairness is not the only issue. There is another consideration, and that is, what about our own life? do we have a 30 or 40 foot pole in our own eye? Well, we're complaining about the speck in someone else's life. In many cases, unfair treatment is little more than a speck when people compare it to their own self and own life. Most of us, if we've lived for very long, have seen someone rant and rave at a store manager. Sometimes we find that people throw fits because they've not been treated fairly. There are people who curse and yell and scream and try to humiliate someone at a store. In cases such as this, is there not someone with a beam and not someone with a speck? Well, yes, we would have to say that that's true. The consumer who is angry and verbally vicious and short-tempered and hateful and rude, he has a beam. He may have been wronged. He may not have been treated fairly. The company may have a speck or maybe four or five specks. But before that fella is concerned about those matters, he needs to be aware and take care of the beam in his own eye. And that's one of the things that we need to realize and put into practice when we're treated not fairly. And part of the reason for our doing this is found in Matthew 7, verse 2. Jesus said, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you." In both life and eternity, the kind of standard that we use when dealing with others, the kind of attitude that we display will be reflected back to us. Well, there is a second consideration to keep in mind when we are not treated fairly, and this also comes from the Sermon on the Mount, drawing now from the first chapter where the sermon is, Matthew 5, especially verse 44. To get the entire thought before us, I want to read from verse 40 down through verse 45. And this takes us almost to the end of Matthew 5. Again, Matthew 5, starting with verse 40 and reading down through verse 45. "And if any man would go to law with thee, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away." Verse 43. "Ye have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you." And then the reason, verse 45, "that ye may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he maketh thee his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." Some have concluded that in Matthew 5, verses 40 through 45, Jesus endorsed the idea that we should let people walk all over us. But that's not what the Lord meant. Let's take a closer look. You notice from verse 41 that Jesus said, if people compel you to go 1 mile, go two. The Lord specified a number of miles. He didn't say, go as many as people want, but he said, double it. In verse 40, he spoke of people taking our clothing. He didn't say, let them take your house, didn't let them take your car, your savings account, or your boat, or anything else. You see, when we're treated unfairly, there are some limits. And Jesus did recognize that in this sermon. We can also apply this information to verse 42. Going back there and reading it one more time, Jesus said, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away." Well, suppose someone says, "I want your house, I want your car, I want your boat, and I want all your bank accounts." Are we obligated, in light of verse 42, to simply turn everything that we possess over to someone? Would we be required to let someone strip us of everything that we possess? And the answer is no. Jesus was speaking of legitimate needs in this particular part of the sermon, not wants or wishful thinking. But at the same time, though we recognize that, we also want to keep in mind that sometimes we need to allow ourselves to be treated in a way that is not ethical or right. And when that happens, Jesus provides some instructions for us. Again, looking at the information in verse 44 in the first part of 45a. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, pray for them that persecute you, that ye may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." In Matthew 7 and Matthew 5, we are left with some simple but profound instructions. First, we want to ensure, as we deal with people who do not treat us fairly, that we do not have a beam in our own eye. We then, according to what Jesus said in Matthew 5, want to pray for people and do our best to love them, to show compassion, to be concerned about them. And to these things, we may add some additional information from Matthew 6. In this part of the sermon, Jesus had some things to say about prayer. He gave his disciples an example of proper prayer. He showed them the kinds of things that they should pray for. And at the end of the prayer, this is what he said, verses 14 and 15. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive also you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." When we're not treated fairly, it can be very tempting to hold a grudge. When people do not treat us in a way that is equitable or right, we can be tempted to harbor ill feelings and resentment. But the Lord said that we, as God's people, need to forgive men their trespasses. If people have not treated us with fairness, if they've not treated us in a way that was right, we love them anyway, Matthew 5, verses 40 through 45, and we forgive them, Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. To this, someone might say, well, you don't know how badly I was treated. If only you experienced this, it would be different. Someone was deliberately mean and inconsiderate. The level of unfairness that we experienced was awful. That those things may be true. A person may not be exaggerating in the least, but listen, if you will, to what Paul said to the Colossians. There are only four chapters in that little book. This packed with some good information. In Colossians 3, verse 13, Paul said this, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a complaint against any, and here's the key part, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. Paul touched on one of the key points related to unfair treatment, and this is going to be our third point. He spoke about Jesus. And he made it clear that the Lord was not treated fairly. And we would say that's right. The lack of fair treatment for the Lord began long before the cross. In John 1 verse 11, it said that Jesus came unto his own and they received him not. And this is a bit of an understatement. Jesus was not just rejected by people, but the Lord was someone who was openly hated. The Bible says that he came to his people, his own people. But most had no interest in him. They were not fair with him. John stressed the point in John 3:32 by saying that no one received the Lord's witness. That was a hyperbole, an exaggeration for emphasis. In Matthew 17:12, the Bible says Jesus would suffer. Luke 17:25 says he would suffer many things. And in John 7:5, we learn that not even some members of his family believed in him. It's one thing to be treated unfairly at work or school. But surely it's the case from the people who are here, we believe that we may experience that kind of thing out in the world, but when we get home, when we come to the people that we live with on a regular basis, we expect a little better treatment there. May not be treated fairly over there at work or school, but when we come home, kids come home to see mom and dad, they expect better treatment there, and the same is true for husbands and wives. But John 7:5 says that the Lord was not treated very well, at least with respect to people believing in him in the household that he grew up in. Jesus did many signs, John 12:37, but still many disbelieved. It wasn't fair. Jesus was denied before the face of Pilate. Acts 3, verse 13, we read about Peter's treatment of the Lord when Steve presented information at the communion table. That wasn't fair. The lack of the Lord's fairness is also seen in his death. He was unfairly arrested, unfairly tried, unfairly beaten, and unfairly crucified. And yet, in spite of all that, Paul said in Colossians 3:13 that the Lord was willing to forgive his people. And Christ sends his people out and says, do likewise. Follow the example that I've given. I recently read about a young man who was asked to define forgiveness, and he offered a beautiful and wise response. He said, forgiveness, quote, is the odor that flowers breathe when they are trampled on. Have you ever squashed an object? I thought for a little while about this, and I can't give you a specific example, but I remember over the years crushing some bugs that emitted a foul odor. And maybe you've had the same kind of experience. You've crushed it and you thought, yuck, what was worse, the bug or the odor? And there are some flowers that can be crushed, but they, contrary to emitting a bad odor, have a pleasant smell. And the young man's response reminded me of what these passages say in totality. When we are treated unfairly, what kind of scent comes from us? Is it the kind of spirit described and demonstrated by Jesus? Is it like the little boy described? When we're treated unfairly, there is still a good odor that's emitted. Or are we someone who, when we're treated unfairly, emit a smell that is very undesirable? The Bible teaches that the right kind of response comes from the right kind of life. And the right kind of life is being a New Testament Christian who is faithful to God. That's the choice that's right. That's the choice that we hope and pray each one in this room has made. Are we a member of the church built by Christ? He said he was going to build one church. He did, Matthew 16, verse 18. People on the day of Pentecost became members of it. When they believed in the Lord, they said, what must we do? And those who believed were told to repent, told to live as the Bible describes, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. And then they continued steadfastly in the things that were taught by the apostles. Have we become a Christian? in the way that the Bible describes, and are we trying to live faithfully so we please God each day? If one of those two things is not true in your life, and we can help you this morning, if we can baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, or if we can help put you back on the right way, we'd like to do that. So whether you're treated unfairly or as you